B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gordon Hayward gets it into Jaylen Brown. The Pacers will not foul. The clock hits triple zeros, and the Celtics, who slogged their way through an 82-game regular season, are the first team to advance to round two.
Scrambled for the puck. 2 seconds left. Coyle's got it, and the horn is going to sound. Can you smell that? Can you smell it? It's a game seven.
All right, that was the weekend that was. Bruins win. They're going to a game seven tomorrow night at the Garden. Celtics complete the sweep out in Indy. They're moving on to the second round of the NBA playoffs. How you doing, Zoe?
Great. Called it.
Good?
Called it.
Called what?
Sat in here Friday with you guys. I said Bruins are going to lose the first one, win the second, and we'll
That's
be in
right.
here Monday.
That is right.
About,
he did say
talking
that.
About a game seven.
And I borrowed half of that on early edition later that night.
Goes,
I said,
you're right.
I said, okay, what are we going to be talking about on Monday? I said, we're going to be talking about Celtics how sweep. The Celtics swept
yep.
and how awesome it is to have a game seven. No way. There's no way Celtics can win two on the road. And no, there's not. I'm like, okay. All right. I said,
who said that?
It was either Trenny or Tomasi or
Ooh.
I don't know.
All I know sounds like a,
all I know is mind. It's like that stupid sitting around predicting what you're going to be talking about on Monday morning.
It's
like, the Celtics are rolling and the Pacers don't look that good. So why not? They go win two in Indy and get that over with. But for some reason, maybe because Zoe had it stuck in my head, and I said, nothing has gone according to script in that Maple Leaf series.
It's been asked backwards.
I said, so they're going to Friday night, big tilt, game five at home, back in the Garden. They're going to lose. They're going to lose tonight. And win game six and force a game seven.
But Zoe said on Friday, the reason why it's going to happen is because it's the way the series has gone.
Yeah.
That it's been one the
yep.
whole way.
Yeah.
And that the Bruins have been trailing in this series, and they haven't been able to take a lead at any point. It's just 1-1-1-1-1-1-1.
It's off the table now.
Oh, why is it off the table now?
No. I'm saying you get to all you got to do is get to game seven, and just anything can happen.
Well, that's just,
like they're talking about the big Jake DeBrusque bump in the morning, the TNR bump. First of all, Ted Johnson was in.
Air it out.
With
Joe.
Fred.
Air it out. Air out your grievances on the TNR bump.
You don't F with the athlete. And I know Fred's saying, okay.
So he's got all kinds of issues with
if
this.
If he wants to call in,
because
I am, I used to do things a certain way before a game. And man, if you got hot or streaky, what the hell did I eat? What did I drink? When was it? What time did I go to bed? You're trying to remember it all to make sure I do the same thing so I have the same results. Because athletes are freaks. We're superstitious. So Fred's saying, well, if he wants to call in, we'll take the call. Here's what you do. You don't take the call. You don't take the call. Because Ted Johnson was in doing a show with Fred, had him call in. DeBrusk ends up scoring, granted, 2 days later. But, I think you mess with Mojo if Rich is back in. He takes the call. And DeBrusk, now it'll be the anti. You will jinx DeBrusk. This is how it works. That's why I say this stuff's off the table now, game seven. Now you're overthinking things. If the kid's overthinking things, I don't want him thinking about it. I don't want thinking like, gee, I need to get on a radio show to score. But when's the last time I scored? Oh. Well, it has worked and not worked a couple times. So let's not mess with mojo. I think the mojo with this team right now is pretty good. The Bruins.
They've got good mojo.
Hey, where's that little kid, Ty Anderson? Can you say maybe the goalie stole one? Huh? Maybe the goalie went out and played his ass off yesterday. I'll tell you what, there was a stretch there, man, where it was. Tuca played his ass off. Right, I think a good 65% of that game. He looked good. He really did. You think so?
Yes.
I mean, they had good shots, good looks, and I'm not going to say he stood on his head, but you could say who was responsible for yesterday's victory. I would say Tuukka Rask, number one.
A lot of action in front.
Yesterday? No, Brad Marchand. How do you give that to Tuukka Rask?
He got the empty netter, I understand. But
he had another goal, too.
I know he had another goal. So he kind of padded the two-goaler. I just think Rask, defensively, and with some openings that they had and some of the scoring chances that they had, it's one-on-one.
I don't know. Yep, most empty netters, I'm with you, Zell, where it's like, yeah,
take
it doesn't really count.
Take the empty net off the board.
No, that one. I'm not taking that one off the board at all. Most empty netters are garbage. That one was not garbage.
That was legit.
That was an incredible effort to make that happen.
He bent it Beckham.
Well, he had to get it. He had to get his stick flipped around. He had to get it through a defender, and he had to do it from a pretty good distance.
Trick shot.
This is not. And if it's so easy, why did the next two or three fail and result in icing calls? It's not all that easy.
No.
And I'll give Tuukka credit. There was a lot of action in front of his net. There were times when they were even strengthened. Maple Leafs looked like they were on a power play yesterday for 40 seconds, a minute at a time. It was
backs
brutal.
Against the wall. You're on the road in their building. It's an elimination game if you let them damn pucks in.
I think that
you're gone.
Yesterday's game is pretty much in lockstep with the rest of the series, and that is how are the top lines performing. And yesterday, Brad Marchand performed and had a really good game. And on the other side, Mitch Marner, who has been terrific in this series to this point. I heard Bob Beers on Friday night talking to Felger Maz saying if he wanted to draft the series, if he was going to draft all the guys in the series, ooh, Mitch Marner would have been his number one pick. Ooh. Because that's how good Mitch Marner had been in this series. He was nothing. He was not a factor in yesterday's game.
Didn't factor in.
He didn't factor in at all. And so the way the top lines went in that game yesterday is the way the game went. And that's how I look at it. And defensively, I thought the Bruins were much, much better. Especially coming off that first goal, which was from the blue line for Toronto. I thought the Bruins played a much better game defensively yesterday than what they had in this series. And Bruce Cassidy said after the game that this is the best game he's seen the team play in this series. I would wholeheartedly agree with him. I absolutely would. You got production from Marchand. You got production from that top line. And you were much better defensively. And the goalie played well, as you said, Zoe. This was their most complete win in the series. That's how it felt, just going on the eyeball test, watching the game yesterday.
You felt best about this win out of the other.
You should feel better about the Bruins coming home now than you felt at any other point in the series.
Then you were down 1-0. And you're biting your teeth. Everything tightens up. You're down 1-0. You respond with two quick ones to get back up on top. That's huge. That's balls. It's balls in that building. That's balls because of the spot. Because you're thinking about it going in. Let's not let this be our last game of hockey, guys, you know? Let's not do it. Let's go out and play our game. We're not doing that initially. They got one in, a quick one. You're like, oh, my God, here we go. You couldn't afford to give up another one. You couldn't afford to get down 2-0. And they flipped it right away. That was great.
You know who else sort of returned to form yesterday in the win? Krug. Torrey Krug played
a shot.
He had a rough series to this point. And I think yesterday, he turned it around. I know that he was aggressive offensively, and he was actually doing things defensively, and I know that we expect a lot more out of him offensively than we do defensively as a defenseman.
Yep.
But he finished the game with, I think he had 12 shots in yesterday's
game.
He had
a great opportunity on that goal.
Double check
to
that,
shoot it from that corner. And I don't think Anderson saw it because I think there was a defender in front of him, and it goes in the only spot that was available from the angle he shot it, right under that arm.
Oh, his
about a 2-inch area right under his arm.
His goal was better than Marchand's. Marchand's was good just because, you know, you had the wherewithal to get your stick on the puck after Bergeron wins the faceoff. But the Krug was relentless, and they were cycling him down low. They were moving him back up to the point.
You try to shoot it in that hole like you're thinking. Yes. You kind of, right? You got to put it in the general vicinity.
I don't.
These guys really paint the net.
Nine shots on goal yesterday, 18:53 in ice time.
Whew.
He was fantastic.
He was active.
And gave you one or two Torrey Krug moments where he's out there at the blue line. They're trying to keep the puck
in. And he can't keep it in. It skips right over his blade.
Flutters right over the blade of his stick. I'm like, how is this kid such a good puck-moving defenseman? And then sometimes just the tiniest little things seem to stymie him. He's unbelievable. He's our unbelievable little guy. That Torrey Krug.
That Krug.
But he was fantastic yesterday.
Hockey.
All over the place. My God.
617-779-0985. Your reaction to the Bruins win and how you feel about them coming home. I think we should all feel as best as we can feel about this team coming home for this second game. I think that's where we're at in the series. And I think they're going to win the game. I mean, I've thought all along they're going to win the series. I haven't wavered on that point.
I got some presents for you guys because it's game seven.
I feel like the Bruins finally showed us the Bruins yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they've had responses in some of these games and in all three of their wins, but yesterday felt like the most complete effort, and they responded to losing in game five. I mean, if you heard some of their comments coming out of that locker room after that loss, they didn't lack confidence, you know, and they were very hard on themselves. And I thought, okay, you're saying all the right things. Can you now go do the right thing? And they did. So I think the Bruins are in a good place mentally going into this game as well. What do you have for game seven?
I'll give it to you on the other side. I have to go get it. I got a little gift for your kids. Yep. Get them fired up for game
seven. Actual gifts?
Actual gifts for your kids.
Tangible items.
It's something that we have talked about before.
Leftover ham?
Something to get your... Nope, no leftover ham.
Making some ham sandwiches?
Kids are going to... Especially yours. Your kids. I could get them jumping through hoops like you.
Yeah, no, I know you do.
I got to come over and just play for 2 hours. We could do all kind of things, man. Whew.
Yeah, one of my kids asked if they could have a play date with Uncle Zoe.
Yes.
And my wife said, he's a grown man. I don't know if that's a thing.
Yeah, we'll bring the big kid over. He likes we'll get you a zip line. You got get room for a zip line?
I might, but I don't think I want one.
Put it out the top window, like out to your shed?
No, I don't think I want to do that.
I could see that being a thing with Zoe, play dates.
Play dates with Zoe?
Kids in the neighborhood love me.
For my 4 and 5 year olds?
Yep.
617-779-0985. We'll get your calls coming up. And also, the Celtics, who wrapped up their series yesterday against the Pacers. Good job by the Celtics. I think there's a lot to be positive about on that front as well. Things are feeling pretty good here. That was a good weekend.
What's up, Boston?
A Sunday sweep for Boston sports. We'll get to your calls coming up on Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox as well all this hour. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just think that from a preparation standpoint of preparing for one team has given us a benefit. You know, it's given us just an identity going out and just executing a certain game plan. And this was our first test against the Pacers. So now we have to carry that on to the next series. You know, but it's exciting to know that when the pressure, quote unquote, gets high or you know, you're asked to be challenged in a certain situation that, you know, you have guys that can respond to that and respond pretty well. It's not always going to be perfect. It's not always going to be the way that you expect it to be individually. But as long as we stay together as a team, I think that whatever result it is, it's just more manageable when everyone's together than just apart. So I'm happy about that we're all just diving into it, you know, kind of having a blind faith with each other and just go out there and just be great.
That, of course, is Kyrie Irving talking about some blind faith. You got any more?
Yeah, nope.
Come on.
No.
Kyrie didn't look like he had blind faith in Jaylen Brown toward the end of that game.
Oh.
Was he giving Jaylen Brown an earful? That's the first thing I thought about when Kyrie said he had blind faith in his... They had blind faith in each other. It's like, if you believe so much... Beyond belief. We're talking about faith. If you've got so much faith in your teammates, why are you so far up Jaylen Brown's rear end in a game that you're going to win anyway? And I don't mind that. I like that. But don't tell me you've got blind faith in each other and you just know you can get it done.
When you see Kyrie Irving yelling at Jaylen Brown, Hardy, you're the perfect guy to ask for this because it's obviously irritated you in some way.
Okay. Right. I don't know if irritated is...
Who do you side with? Like, what's your gut right away tell you? Whose side are you on?
On that particular play?
Yeah.
I think I'm with Jaylen Brown.
Oh, wow.
I'm not. I see that. I'm like, yeah, go Kyrie. Team Kyrie.
It's your time.
Team Kyrie.
Well, it's your time. It came after a play where Kyrie was trying to inbound the ball, and he finally got it to Jaylen Brown, who was like down in the corner. He tried to get a shot off, and I think he stepped out of bounds and what he got called for.
Does Jaylen Brown get along with anybody on this team? Because publicly, from what we see, not what we actually know, just what we see as fans.
I have no idea.
Doesn't Jaylen Brown at some point just get into it with everybody on this team? Feels like everyone's had an issue with him at some point.
It seems like it. And I don't know what he said. Of course, we don't know.
I have no idea what was being talked about. Kyrie may have been a complete a-hole. We have no idea what was being said.
My guess, the reason why I say I sat with Jaylen Brown, because it's like one of those impossible situations. It's like, well, I wasn't open. Why did you throw me the ball? You practically threw it over
because
my head.
That may not have been what he was yelling at him about. Maybe, and he may have said, that he wasn't open because of something he had done earlier in the play.
And I'd swing right over if I knew the conversation sounded like this, because it sounds like one that I have with my kids all the time. Hey, next time, just make sure, you know, you cut back this way, and that's how we drew it up. It's not my fault. What? What do you mean it's not your fault? It's not your fault. All you have to do is say okay. I'm giving you the instruction as to what will work in this life. And in that particular moment, here is what you do. All you have to do is say okay, and we're done, and everything's fine. You want to make a thing of it,
yeah.
Jaylen, which my gut tells me he probably does.
Right.
He wants to make a thing of it. Then we'll sit here and make a thing of it. But all you got to do is say okay.
And then Kyrie's got to deal with him and make a thing of it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I got to deal with you?
Happened to me yesterday with the garage door going up and down because they're playing jail. They're playing Jailbreak.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, just
who played that?
Don't put the garage door up and down all the time. You know, it's my father talking. You're going to burn the motor out. I have no idea. It just bugs
no
me.
Idea if
it
it'll burn the motor out.
Quit pressing the garage door open, up and down, up and down, up and down. It's not my fault. Okay, now we got a thing. What do you mean it's not your fault? There's a ghost? There's
a poltergeist? We had a kid get his leg trapped, buddy, because they kicked off one of those sensors.
What?
Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
If you kick off the sensor,
right.
If you're smart enough, and the kid knows to go hold the button down, the door will close and not kick back up. And there's a kid out there screaming. It was like a half a foot underneath. I'm running.
One of your kids?
Him. Yeah.
Which one?
What do you think?
You got to pull the emergency lever there hanging from the ceiling?
Boom! Yeah. Thank God for that switch.
So, yeah, Jaylen Brown's probably making it a thing when it doesn't have to be a thing. It's Kyrie Irving. You know what? Sometimes it's okay just to say okay.
Kyrie said after the game, he's glad the other guys got to experience a sweep in the playoffs.
I love that. I love
this. This is Alpha Dog Kyrie coming out full force.
Douchey he can sound when he says that. Because you know what? If anybody has backed up what they have said leading up to the playoffs,
I love it.
Anybody on this team has backed it up with their play on the court, it is Kyrie Irving.
He said that
we are going to flip that switch when we get there, and Kyrie has done exactly that. So credit to him.
I thought it's the most he's given you post game to where everybody says, oh, you're rambling, you're a thinker, the big words, blah, blah, blah. No. He said, you know what we're talking about here? We get into a series where we understand the opponent. He talked about game planning, which helps Stevens out, right? That's what we've waited for. Get into the series. We want him to sweep. Start studying the next team. We know the opponent. And he talked about an identity, like formulating an identity. He's telling you, we've had no identity. This is what we talked about last week. Their ability to accept certain roles to finish games, that's an identity.
Without Marcus Smart.
Without Marcus Smart.
Beal, you might have been right all along.
What?
I think I heard Bill Simmons say this over the weekend. Huge Celtics fan, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The Marcus Smart thing was a blessing in disguise because now they have the right amount of players playing the minutes they need to play. Uh-huh. They don't have that extra guy taking up the extra minutes. And not necessarily a Smart thing, but if it was Rozier or if it was Jaylen Brown, somebody leaving the equation is better for the whole. You've been right all along.
The only problem is that I openly admit that defensively they are going to have some issues in this series against Milwaukee.
But I saw Gordon Hayward crashing the boards, going to the lane last night defensively. And I'm talking about looking for offensive opportunities, elevating, going up and getting the ball above people. Like, this dude's coming around, man.
But do you know how you can also negate that? It's just be like every other NBA team and negate it with more scoring of your own. Really, that's how you can negate it. If you're scoring more, you have less to worry about defensively.
I thought Kyrie was good there. He gave you a lot of information, and he took a shot at the young kids because, hey, we brought him along. We showed him how to sweep a team.
I don't want to overreact because I think the Pacers suck.
Of course they do.
But did you not see in this series that this is why the Celtics have Kyrie Irving? We didn't see him in the playoffs last year. He didn't play in the playoffs for the Celtics.
He's never lost a playoff game with the Celtics.
Playoff Kyrie. Give me that on the Adam Jones Twitter. Celtics 4-0 with Kyrie on the floor in the playoffs. This is why they have this guy. This is why you have Kyrie Irving, because when you get into the big games in the playoffs, and they're all big in the playoffs, despite it being a first-round battle against the sucky Pacers, Kyrie showed up. Kyrie flipped that switch, averaged 22.5 points in the series, 7.8 assists. He shot over 40% from three. He was close to 90% on free throws. He was everything you need him to be. Made key shots, timely shots, clutch shots, however you want to phrase it. He did all of it in this series. He was everything you need offensively from Kyrie. He showed up. He's here, ready to go.
Did you hear obnoxious Milestone Jim sneak in there for a moment? That we're going to get more of this from him.
No. What do you mean?
Kyrie's undefeated with the Celtics in the playoffs. And when they lose, it's like, that's Kyrie's first playoff loss with the Celtics.
First game two, round two loss ever.
Yeah, see? Stuff like that.
Milestone Jim, is that what you call
that? Milestone Jim.
I like that. T-shirts.
Judd Surratt's called a game seven against the Maple Leafs every year he's been a broadcaster.
Here's something else. Do you want to? I know that the stats people don't do clutch, right? The sabermetricians and advanced statistics don't do clutch. Do you know that in the fourth quarter of this series, in fourth quarters, Kyrie averaged 60% from three? Fourth quarter, 60% from three. Kyrie was great in this
series.
Good
number.
Yeah.
People say he's the best closer in the NBA.
He showed that he is a great closer in this series. Again, first round sucky Pacers.
There's time.
They should only make them play five game series in the first round, God. Not seven. But still, given what he said all the way coming into the playoffs, I'm going to flip the switch. He said, oh, stop it. Well, you build up, and you know what? Yeah. He flipped the switch. And on top of that, Al Horford flipped his playoff switch, although his shooting at times is dreadful.
I could see where they get annoyed with Kyrie, though, and I totally understand it. It's when he goes on these dribble drive crazy moves and he stops, he does a hesitation, it's around the back, he's out in the corner, he dribbles it back out, goes into the paint, and then fades away and misses and hits the front of the rim. He did like three of those yesterday.
Yeah, but you know what? But I don't think they're all that annoyed with him right now.
Seven of the other 10 are going to drop, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
That's the Kyrie you got to learn to live with.
And quite frankly, at the end of that game, you know, not the 3-point shooting necessarily. I'm not even talking about any shots at all right now. We all know what a great handle he's got and what a great ball handler he is. But when he needs to kill off a few seconds and he's dribbling around the top of the key, and everyone, the only thought on any Pacers players to steal that ball, that you can't steal it. You can't steal it from Kyrie. And by the way, the only guy they don't want with the ball in his hands when they're inbounding him, when they're trying to foul somebody to get possession back, is Kyrie. Who ends up with the ball in his hands? Kyrie. Mm. You know, not even the shooting at that point. It's his ability to get open and to get that inbound pass. Or when he does have the ball and he doesn't want to get fouled, he can evade guys and he can keep from getting the ball stolen away. I mean, it's the stuff other than just the 60% in the fourth quarter from 3-point territory.
So it's probably what? Celtics Friday night if they sweep? If the other series sweeps, so it's going to be Friday, Sunday, you think?
No, I think it's Sunday, Tuesday.
Okay.
We got to wait a week.
It can't start till Saturday at the very earliest. The second round can't start till Saturday at the earliest.
So we got Bruins game 7.
It's likely going to be Sunday 1 and then Warriors Rockets Sunday at 3:30.
Oh, good job. Schedule gym there. We got Monumental Gym and we got Schedule Gym. I like that. Your kids fired up for game 7?
Milestone Gym.
Your kids game 7 tomorrow night? They going to watch it?
Monumental.
So I was going to Star Market today, and I'm walking around, and we were talking about something, and I saw something hanging. I saw a lot of things hanging, but I saw this certain thing hanging, and I'm like, I'm getting this for the kids of the show. Get them fired up. Jiffy.
So about Jiffy Pop.
Your three little ones, you sit there and shake that thing.
Let me see.
They're going to be fired up. Now, Hardy, you brought Jiffy Pop up about 2 weeks ago on the show.
Yeah.
When is the Jiffy Pop container shrunk on almost one half size?
I remember it being much bigger.
Remember
than
the
this.
Big tin, the pie tin.
I remember
this
feeling
like
it was a little more.
I mean, the same logo.
That's microwave popcorn, Jim.
Who's typing?
Microwave popcorn. I can hear the
That's
microwave.
Shaughnessy
warning.
Typing.
Terrible sound effect.
Jim, it's more of a.
My kids are going to be very excited about this.
My kid's going to go nuts.
How do you do it?
These are small.
Take the paper top off.
Yeah.
And you just put it on there, and you got to just shake it back and forth, medium. Not too hot.
I find the black aluminum to be sort of interesting. It used to be like the big silver.
Nice. Yes.
As you said.
It's hot in here.
I wonder why they decided to paint them.
Yeah.
Use it as a fan. Because you know why? It looks like those Gorilla pans. You know, like the nonstick?
You think it's got some sort of coating on it?
I think it's got that coating that...
So it doesn't light on fire?
You know, remember the old ones we grew up on, the original tin pans, aluminum pans? Sometimes you would burn the popcorn and it would stick to it. This may be non-burnable popcorn.
The Jiffy Pop is here and it's ready to go.
It's ready for the playoffs.
For a Jiffy Pop for Game 7.
Let me ask you something, Zoe.
Yeah.
Didn't you say you used to do this over an open fire?
Yeah,
you could do that.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you could.
You could do that.
Dude, we did it.
Do not allow young children to prepare unsupervised. Do not pop on a glass top, ceramic range, or over charcoal grill, open campfire, or other uneven heat.
I've got a ceramic range. Ceramic top,
yeah,
like
as do I.
Stove.
And it's getting done on that.
What am I supposed to do now?
And I did it, not as a kid, but a parent held it over the
fire. Do
not
pop
with pliers.
A glass top ceramic.
Oh, is there
range.
Anything we can't do in this world? Can you tell us not how to make popcorn?
What is the handle made out of, though?
Hot.
Like a coat hanger?
Yeah, that's not going to get hot at all.
No, we held it with my grandfather used to have the...
So wait,
what's the name of the pliers?
So the glass ceramic ranges are no good. That's what I have.
Stop it.
What's a glass ceramic range?
You know what it is. It looks like glass on top of it.
What, do you have an electric range?
Thing. Yeah. I got the same thing. Yeah, we don't have highfalutin house like you.
I think gas range is pretty...
Well, wait, it says an open flame. I mean, you got an open flame if you got a gas range.
Since these kids are going to be hurt, you know what we're going to have our kids do
uneven
now? So what do I need to do? I need to put a pan, maybe...
We're going to get all your kids to hold lighters.
And then put this in the pan?
We'll get three lighters and have them hold lighters and we'll hold this.
Stop at REI. Get yourself one of them fuel canisters, right? You're gonna spend about $300-$400 in camping supplies, but it'll be worth it. I'll write you up a list.
All right.
I'm on the way home. That way you can pop your $1.89 with a Jiffy Pop.
You ever see the New Wave flat top oven? The cook plate?
Yeah, those are
you
very
can actually
popular.
Touch it with your finger, not burn yourself while water is boiling right next to your finger. And it only conducts to the pot.
Electric ranges, huh? All right, well, I'll come over to my house tomorrow night. We'll
great.
Do the Jiffy Pop.
Great, terrific. 617-779-0985.
Vice Grips.
Let's get to your call on both
the
Bruins and the Celtics coming up in the Red Sox this hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So like Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
85, the Sports Hub.
Everybody. Base is empty, and the 1-1. Ground ball to first. Down for it is Pierce. He'll take it himself. The Red Sox sweep. They take all three games here against Tampa Bay. This one in 11 innings.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five, the telephone number. Get back to your calls in a couple minutes. What'd you make of the Red Sox over the weekend?
Took care of business. Another good start for David Price. What, 10 strikeouts?
I think that they did more than just take care of
starting
business.
To hit a little bit.
I feel like there was a pulse there.
It's a crap team they're going up against. I don't know what to take out of it.
Not really. I mean, not to this point. They haven't been a crap team this year.
But did we say that?
Best team in baseball going in.
Stop it.
I mean, that's not even...
What they play in front of yesterday? 17 people? How many were there?
The Rays still have 5 more wins than the Red Sox.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
Even after dropping all 3 over the weekend.
Jesus. That team won't be there in the end. We know that. We know this Red Sox team will. Red Sox will make the playoffs. But it's time for them to step up and sweep one of these type of series. The stuff what David Price exactly talked about last week. They need to start playing better.
The Red Sox were in an odd spot going into the weekend. There was pressure on them going into a series at Tampa Bay.
And David Price put that pressure on you, too, and you responded. That says something for Price.
And the wins weren't easy, by the way.
No.
They weren't easy. they had to sort of claw to get these wins over the weekend.
Yeah.
And they did. And I think they felt it. I think they're starting to feel that pressure. They felt it going in. They responded to it. They sort of built some confidence, yeah. I think, over the course of the weekend.
And I think it's a little tough, too. You're on the road, and I know they take care of you at the hotel and families with them if they want to travel, but you know, you're playing on a holiday weekend. So that's in the back of your mind. It's sort of, okay, you understand that, and you need to work through that. And I think you compliment them for going down there and taking care of business. They did. Starting to hit, too.
Yes.
My guys.
617-779-0985. We'll get to more on this team as well because there was news over the weekend on both Pedroia and on Nathan Eovaldi. But Jake's in Attleboro on the Bruins. Hey, Jake.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's
hey,
up?
Hey, what's up, Jake?
All right. So, real quick, I know you guys want to talk about the Celtics because they had a
nice
series, but with that, probably not getting out of the East, let alone winning in the West. So, but anyways, I wanted to talk about the Bruins and how they've looked. Obviously, it's been back and forth. And Cassidy seems like he's trying to mix and match everything. I'm wondering if he's just doing too much. I mean, the second best team in the East, third best in the league. And, I mean, I have an issue with Carson Coleman being in the playoffs. I mean, David Backes has played in how many playoff games? And I know he's struggling. He's not producing offensively. But with that being said, neither is Coleman. They both played four games. They both have an assist. And if the specific play I wanted to talk about was the first goal that Toronto had yesterday. If you guys have had a chance to watch it, he keeps the puck in at the blue line, turns his body to throw it, back into the zone. He made a harder play than it needed to be. He goes through the process of lifting the guy's stick, throwing it back towards the middle of the ice to the other team who ends up scoring. But as he's throwing the puck back, he starts skating, and if you look at him, he's just lost. He actually takes his hand off the stick, and he's looking around like, what did I just do? B, what am I supposed to do? I mean, David Backes is not a liability like this kid is, and I'm wondering if we're just overthinking it. I mean, he's not contributing at all.
Which goal is that you're talking about?
I said first
the
one.
Yesterday, the very first goal. Okay. You guys should do yourself a favor. Take a look at it like a couple times, and you'll see what I'm talking about. He lifts the stick, turns the body to keep it in at the blue line. It was like the dumbest play. It's like, kid, have you played hockey before? Are you on the Bruins or are you on the Leafs?
It was
ridiculous.
How are you feeling about Game 7?
I feel pretty confident. I mean, I'm a season ticket holder. I've watched them play. I was at Game 7 last year. I mean, I never count them out. I said it. If they win Game 6, they win Game 7. I still feel that way. But I just feel like they got to make that swap. David Backes for Coleman is an easy decision, in my opinion.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see what they do for Game 7. Being at home, I think that they've taken Backes when they've decided to go without him is because of the speed of the game. That's what I think it is. Now, I know that when they put him in for game two, he made a difference, and it felt like they had lacked him early, and then there was even so much as the second guess of Bruce Cassidy for not putting him in there right out of the gate. But I think speed is a very big factor in this series, and I think that's probably why he's found himself out of the lineup at times and why they've decided to go with guys that they feel have a little bit more speed. 617-779-0985. Game 7 tomorrow night at the Garden. The Bruins probably played their most complete game to this point. Brad Marchand had some comments after the game. Again, I'd make Brad Marchand the number one star of the day. I think that he was huge in the game for the Bruins, and I even give him credit for his goal. That was an empty netter. We're going to get to his comments on the ice at TD Garden coming up at the top of the hour. But coming up next, what was everybody watching over the weekend when it was Celtics against the Bruins on television? Big numbers for everybody. It tells me that everybody was tuned into playoff action all weekend long, so I'll give you some of those specifics coming up next.
Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
I always feel like somebody's watching me, and I have no props. Oh, I always feel.
What's so funny?
When I come home at night, it's like, good evening.
You're just laughing at the song.
I started laughing at, like, the Shaughnessy.
I think you're laughing at.
I think a Hardy's Hub Headlines, Monster Mash ones.
There was a period in the 80s when popular music thought it was cool to affect both a British and or effeminate accent. Fred Toucher has commented on this many times. It's like the more feminine you sounded, the sexier it was for male singers for a while, and also English. There's a little bit of both.
Dude, El DeBarge. Come on. Right. Yeah. Prince was good at sounding, you know, hitting high notes, but he had a deep voice.
He did. He had a great range, but, I mean, Prince isn't even the best example. I mean, there were a lot. It just was like a thing. I don't know why.
So what'd they watch last night? What, you got numbers?
Do you want to start with last night or Friday?
Oh, let's go to Friday.
Go back to Friday.
Let's go to Friday.
Well, Friday
go back to Friday.
Friday's like primetime viewing audience. You know, that's night.
These are combined numbers between NBC Sports and ABC. NBC Sports Boston and ABC for Celtics. Bruins had both NESN and NBC Sports Network.
Celtics started at 8:30 that night, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah, Bruins were at 7. Yes. Celtics 8:30.
Yes,
yeah.
But these are the numbers for the games themselves. Not the time where they were up against each other. It's what each game did. Celtics did an 8.8.
It's a good number on a Friday night.
And the Bruins did an 8.5.
Ooh.
The Celtics beat the Bruins on Friday night. And
Celtics were up 2-0 in that series.
And they had the later start time. Right?
8:30, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was their number Friday. And Sunday, Celtics Pacers did a 9-4-6. It's a monster.
It's a massive number for 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock start on Easter Sunday.
1 o'clock start Easter Sunday, 9-4-6.
Up 3-0 in the
series.
But
you know what? If everybody's home at Easter, or you're finishing Passover and you're home and you got people over the house and you're eating, you're throwing a game on. That's an easy one right there.
Bruins Maple Leafs, 8.
Perfect window.
8-0?
They did an 8. Whew. Celtics did a 9-4.
Two great
Celtics
numbers.
Beat the Bruins. I mean, monster numbers for everybody, but the Celtics beat the Bruins on both Friday and Sunday.
Closeout game.
Their games did better.
Yeah, closeout game.
And you can make the case.
But the Bruins was an elimination game, and they were both on national TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're on NBC Sports again Tuesday night.
And by the way, the Red Sox did good numbers on both days despite being up against two playoff games. The Red Sox on Friday night did a 3-5, which is respectable against playoff games that were doing nines, yeah, right?
Against Tampa.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Two playoff games on at the same time, and you've got a 3.5 on Friday night. And then on Sunday, this is a number for their game, again, against two other playoff games. Yeah. That Red Sox game, it's funny. The Celtics started at 1. The Bruins started at 3. The Red Sox were on the entire time that those two games were on.
Says everything.
5-hour affair yesterday.
No, but it's so difficult to get going on either of those two. Whether Celtics, you see, they got all the yellow jerseys on places. Well, it was amped up early. Then it got dead. And then the Bruins was just high-flying. And to turn that game on, to turn on the Red Sox game, it looked like, are all the lights on in the stadium?
Red Sox 5-5-6 yesterday.
It's
good number.
Just leave it on.
Against all that.
They got all the old people over for
a game seven, Easter. A closeout game, and the Red Sox are still doing a 5.5.
Oh, my back.
Everybody did great yesterday.
Yeah.
Everybody did really, really well in yesterday's ratings. But what does that tell you, though, the Celtics beating the Bruins in these last two games of that series?
Because this is what people have been waiting for, Celtic West.
There's exactly. Yeah. I think that's exactly it.
I'm curious what the other NBA games did. I wonder if the NBA audience was just bigger. There's like, they were against the Warriors,
thirst.
Right?
Yeah. No, probably not, Jim. I just think here locally, you've been told for months now, but regular season doesn't matter. Yeah, we'll be able to flip that switch when the playoffs start. Well, they swept first round.
It's a little bit front-runner-ish, bandwagon-ish, the ratings.
For what?
The Celtics?
Could be.
Now that they're
bit.
Playing well, people are really jumping on board.
A little bit. Probably.
I tell you what, I heard it's a really, 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 really tough ticket.
Celtics?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Game 3 against the Bucks.
So I got people wanting to go next week, and they said they can't find them anywhere. They find them, but it's expensive.
Well, I mean,
I mean, how much you want?
You can go to any.
You pay $700 to get up top.
When you say it's a tough ticket, that means that there's not tickets available.
Right.
I mean, Giannis is a top five draw for an opponent, though.
Secondary market is holding some pretty high ticket prices right now. That's all.
For the Celtics second round against Giannis and company.
Yep. And they should. Deservedly so.
Yeah, there could be a little Celtics fever invading.
After seeing Miles Turner drive the lane the way he did against them, Miles Turner, that made me a little scared of Giannis in the next series. A little bit.
Yeah, but my thing with Giannis is he's going to do that against you no matter what. Marcus Smart or no Marcus Smart, he's doing that either way.
Marcus Smart's not guarding him anyways.
Let's go Brad Stevens.
That's going to happen no matter what.
Keep them all fresh.
But to see Miles Turner actually do it in the game made me think, oh, wow, Giannis' next series. Giannis is 10 times better than
most
Miles
teams
Turner.
Can't stop Giannis. Most teams can't stop him. So, I mean, that's to be expected. Anyway, when you look at the ratings over the weekend, I just think it tells you that there's something building on the Celtics front in terms of interest as they go along here. Now, the games were close, and some people might want to get on the Celtics for that. I wouldn't. I won't entertain the idea for this reason. They closed out in every fourth quarter and took care of business.
Yeah.
They did enough to win all four games.
Now, speaking of closeness, just trying to dissect what happened on Friday night, Bruins game. You remember what the final was? How the goals were scored?
Friday.
I don't know.
It's like 3 days ago now.
Okay.
What are you doing to me?
What's your point?
It was because that was an earlier start, and if it's a lackluster effort, you figure, you know what? If you don't care one way or the other, if you're just gonna flip over and watch the Celtics. Now, I don't know how that works against the Bruins yesterday, because to me that was, okay, I think the Celtics got this, and I was all in on the Bruins starting at three.
But Friday, weren't they scoreless going into the third period?
Yeah, it was a 2-1 final, so no, it doesn't explain it.
No, you could watch the entire first two periods of Bruins on Friday night.
And there was no Celtics.
The Celtics hadn't even started yet.
Right.
You flip over after the second period, the Celtics were just starting. You kind of watch halfway through the first quarter of the Celtics, you could flip back to Bruins, and then by the time the Bruins were over, you got to watch the entire second half of Celtics game. So you could watch both and watch them almost the entire game.
Yes. So no, that doesn't help you that point, but it's worth exploring.
What about the fact?
Good question, but it didn't work out for you. They were scoreless going to the third.
Were there any problems with picking up the Bruins games on your Atari 2600s or whatever it was? What was the problem? Commodore 64 wasn't going to stream the games anymore.
Yeah, PlayStation View.
That nonsense.
Yeah, I don't think that put the dent in things. Yeah. By the way, how about
get your solar panels on? Sam
and Quincy
it?
Has got something on the TV coverage over the weekend. Hey, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi, how's Quincy?
Dreary.
Yeah.
Dreary Quincy. Okay. Did anyone see the third period of the Bruins? This is a do-or-die game, right? The third period for 6 minutes when there was some fan's head in the middle of the broadcast.
Yes.
How can that happen?
How did that happen?
Well,
the main camera went down.
That tells me
they lost the camera.
Aerial went down. They got to go to the 2, 3, or 4 camera that they have, and it's really not a mid-ice camera. It's sort of a little bit down from the middle of the ice. And this happens in football, too, where it'll pop up. And I'll see it in some of the crap games, like the B, C, D type teams.
and you
get one of those crap stadiums to where you don't allow the TV team to take the top best video vantage point. That's a bad job by Toronto.
So, Jim, you say, oh, they lost the camera. Like, that's acceptable?
Did you notice it during the game? I thought my TV was screwed up. I could hear the audio, but the TV, the picture froze.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, it cut to that side camera.
That kept happening, too.
Do you see
that point when it froze, it's like it needed to be restarted or something.
Are we supposed to be going by
the end of the game.
Are we supposed to be accepting of this?
No.
Like, oh, they lost a camera. Like, yeah, why? Why did you lose a camera?
It's NBC. It's a national broadcast.
Right.
Unacceptable. They lost a camera. I don't know. What?
Unacceptable.
I don't see why. Well, it's if the camera broke. How's that NBC's fault?
The best thing that comes out of this
is because they're supposed to be set up in a way that they don't lose a camera or have one break.
Yeah.
They're supposed to have another camera right on the side of the main camera.
There's got to be another better secondary camera for this type of thing. You cannot go to – what if that was game seven of the Stanley Cup Finals and that happens? There's no backup other than to go to the fan cam.
You know what happens?
With the guy in his Maple Leafs jersey, his head and blocking your view of the game?
You know what happens?
What, are you kidding me?
You call it low-rent hockey. That's what you call it. Like, that would never happen in the NFL. That would never happen in a World Series. Never happen
I've
in the
never
NBA
seen
finals.
That happen,
Only
ever.
In hockey. Right.
Why don't they use spider cam for that?
In all of your time, do they have it?
I don't know. Why don't they use it in
I
hockey?
Don't know.
It would be great in hockey.
Okay, good complaint. How is that acceptable? I've never seen that happen.
I don't think it has enough height.
In all the sports we watch, have you seen that happen before?
No.
There's got to be a better backup.
I remember.
They've got to have a better backup for
I remember
the
a couple
event
football
that this might
once.
Happen.
Happened to us up in Buffalo, like once.
Oh, it happened in a game I was watching, and they had to switch to the reverse angle from the other side of the stadium. So all of a sudden, the game flipped.
It's happened.
Like backwards.
Yeah, but at least you could see the action unobstructed. Yeah,
right, right.
It's a little easier in a football stadium.
I'm just saying that you need to have another camera that is unobstructed by fans who just want to stand up at the game. And everyone's yelling about the guy. You think that guy had any idea that he was blocking everybody back home?
No.
He had no idea.
The worst thing they did, they probably went and set the camera up prior to the start of the game. So, okay, we got all our angles down. Let's lock the tripods in. Everything's set. And you go on some remotes, and I've seen some, like NBC and stuff, they'll build scaffolding to where, okay, we got to go up on a three-foot box on the three pegs because we have to account for heads when people stand up. They didn't do it, and they got screwed.
Well, how about one of these cameras that we have in studio that are remote? They could set up a camera like that, I assume, and just have it on a remote. If you can't get a guy there to control it on a stanchion somewhere and just remotely, you know, use it.
Oh, so now you're on board with there being a backup camera.
Yeah, something like that.
That's unobstructed.
There should be a smaller camera,
unobstructed backup somewhere in the building.
You know what's great? The fake
another
the fake
camera.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.